Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings.
Hey, folks, those of you that are regulars of the show here, for the past 6 years, you will know Jason Dacey quite well. He was in Singapore for nearly 20 years. Jason and I go back 25 years to our time in Atlanta working at CNN International. And he has known Neil for a dog's year as well. So Jason is back with us now. He's back in Singapore for a week or so, and we've got him in the studio. Jason, welcome back to your original home.
It is wonderful to see you.
If not for you, Neil and I would not be sitting here today.
Yeah, talk about ego. We can't fit us all in the room, can we?
The heads are swelling too much.
We have to keep the door open just to make sure there's space to expand.
Proper eggheads in the room.
How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good. I arrived in last night and on a long flight from Brisbane, and it was actually a bit longer than usual because of the volcanic ash from Sulawesi. So it took about 9 hours by the time we landed in Changi. So that was all fine. I was telling you guys off air, I started watching Succession on the plane, and before I know it, I was in Changi and checking through. And now there's that online arrival card. First time I've done that.
Yep.
Coming into Singapore.
What is it?
The SG arrival card.
Oh, yeah. Super easy, right?
Yeah, super easy. Today I woke up early. I woke up at 3:30 a.m. It's 5:30 a.m. in Brisbane where I live, and went on this incredibly long walk down to East Coast, probably about 2 hours. Went up to Upper East Coast, past where Neil and I used to live at Bayshore area. And then I, had a te halia, kurang manis.
Did you go to your usual place in your HDB?
Not yet.
Marina Terrace?
I mean, the sunset was fantastic across the East Coast, and I was powering up, and I'm like, should I duck in and see my old friends there at Marina Terrace? And I said, I'll keep going. And then I got up there, and I was trying to get a 10 bus back, and no 10 bus came. 3 14 buses came, and I jumped in an Uber, and here I am in the studio wearing my camouflage workout clothes.
We're calling SMRT immediately to find out what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, you and I used to, because I lived on East Coast at the time that
you lived there.
We used to do bike rides and walks, and walks when we couldn't bike ride or run or whatever it was we couldn't do. But, you know, that is such a great, to have East Coast there, and you see so many friends out there, friends, cockies, whatever, doing their walks. I see groups of men, older retirees.
Don't talk about us.
Right? 60, 70-year-old people.
Yeah.
You can all just tell they're such good friends, and they've got the park to coalesce around.
It is great.
And it's wonderful. I mean, all over Singapore.
Yeah, it's not as good as where I live, but it is great.
I used to live there, and I walk past the Bayshore MRT station. It's massive. Mm. There seems to be a new road there. I didn't recognize
A building development coming.
Yes.
And you can see that big green patch of grass. That's going to be the Bayshore something, I believe.
It's already sold out. Yeah.
I can imagine.
I think it's a BTO, right?
I don't know. If someone can tell me that, because it just says housing estate. I assumed it was BTO.
I think it's a BTO.
Because there is no HDB in that area.
Because it's Sea View and all that.
Sea View by the MRT, 5 minutes from the airport, across the road from East Coast Park. It has to be the most desirable location.
I think it's already sold out.
For me, coming back to Singapore, it's a bit like reconnecting with a quirky friend that you haven't seen for years. I'm not just talking about
Neil.
That's me.
They've got a lot of idiosyncrasies. They're a bit quirky, but you just, as soon as you see them again, you click. And that's like me with Singapore. I left July 2019.
Wow.
Here we are. It's almost May of 2024. So coming up to 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's that amazing feeling of just reconnecting with Singapore. I'm still doing projects over here, work projects.
Yeah.
And now the pandemic's over, this is the second time I've been back in a year.
It's very one-sided. I don't click with you.
You know who's loving this? Fuchi Ren is loving
even
this conversation right now.
Yeah. I do really.
Yeah, we get on there.
So you've been down in Brisbane, obviously.
Yes.
You're doing radio. You're doing a couple of different radio shows down there.
Yes.
And other journalistic endeavors.
Yeah, I mean,
you were on 1FM this past week with Glenn and Angel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, FD couldn't make it because of his bad back. But we did a show from Brisbane. They were promoting Brisbane. Of course, Brisbane's my adopted city, and I'm really excited about them coming down to Brisbane. I think it's the best city in Australia. There's so much to do.
Yeah. So I actually thought they were just promoting you.
Well, for 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, we jumped on and we were there right on Brisbane River. And the river is fantastic. And, you know, Glenn and I. And
is it by the Ferris wheel thing?
Yes. Okay. The
observation wheel.
Yeah, the Channel 7 sponsored wheel. And I work sometimes at ABC, which is right next to that.
Oh, okay.
And I do a lot of cycling, like when we did it together, Glenn, and occasionally with Neil. And it's such a cycling paradise, Brisbane. They had a tour to Brisbane last weekend. So, yeah, it was my two worlds coming together. Lots of fun. But it's been a pretty intense week in Australia.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, maybe you can put our listeners in the picture. You were working at ABC in the studio when one of the biggest stories of the year, if not the biggest story of the year, certainly for Sydney, broke.
Yeah, in fact, I was working in the digital newsroom in Brisbane. It was around 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and then we heard there was some sort of disturbance at Bondi Junction in Sydney. And, you know, a lot of times with these things, and you guys will know from having been in the news business for a long time, you're not sure how big it's going to be. So we thought, oh, look, it's probably just going to be something, you know, not that major. And I turned on the television and I'm hearing about fatalities at Bondi Junction Shopping Centre, not far from the Bondi Beach. And I led the coverage, the digital coverage, for about 30 minutes until all the big bosses came in. And, you know, so we started a blog and I made sure our New South Wales editor was on top of it. And we were just sort of building the story out from there.
What has been the response to it since?
Well, I think everyone is just shocked because Sydney and Australia are both pretty, you know, safe places. You know, Sydney, I guess, has changed a lot in the last few years. So there has been more crime than before. But a knife tacker like this, the last time something like this happened was 30 years ago at Strathfield in the western suburbs of Sydney.
Wow.
But to see, you know, six people dying and a female police officer gunning down the alleged assailant, the stabber, and then reviving, trying to revive with...
What a hero she is, by the way.
She's such a hero.
Because she was there for something else, wasn't she? Exactly. She just happened to be the nearest officer on scene.
Yes. Yeah. So many heroes there. You know, the security guard from Pakistan, it was his first day on the job, and he sadly was one of the people stabbed. Wow. There was a French tourist who had a bollard. And was,
saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been given a special visa now.
Yeah, he was there on a work visa or something, and now he's gotten a special visa.
Yes, and the same thing, the friend of the Pakistani security guard has got a visa as well. So
yeah, rightly so, right? I mean, you know, you prove you're a value to the country.
The least you can do.
Yeah. Those of you that are listening that aren't familiar with all the details, six people were tragically killed when a 40-year-old person stabbed them. Another 12 apparently injured.
Yes, correct.
In the attack, they think from what they know now, it was based on wanting to attack women or something by this attacker.
Mental health issues, and the guy the guy was from Queensland, from Ipswich, not far from Brisbane, and he was wearing an Australian rugby league jersey, you know, and very prominent in that, the green and gold with the V and all that. It was shocking. And then we had another alarming incident.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Jason, because the first one, okay, terrible, but it does appear to be an isolated mental health related incident. The second one, even though not as many fatalities, I would argue has greater geopolitical circumstances, consequences.
Yeah, indeed. It was an Assyrian priest who was giving a sermon, giving a service, and it was being live streamed. And a 16-year-old kid lunged with him with a knife and attacked him. And then everybody jumped on him. And after that, there were riots outside the church in Western Sydney. So these are sort of scenes that we don't see very often in Sydney. So upsetting and so alarming.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say about Sydney, and that's my hometown, even though I live in Brisbane now, it has changed. There is an edge to Sydney. There's like the edge you'll get in London. There's like the edge you get in New York, like the edge you'll get in Paris. And it has become a major international city with all the kind of problems associated with that. And to be honest with you guys, that's why when I moved back from Singapore in 2019, and Neil and Glenn, you were part of my discussions then, I chose Brisbane because I think it is a better place to live.
It is lovely.
Yeah.
It is I've been there. It's one of my favourite places in Australia. It's a walkable city. It's a family-friendly city. I sound like I'm on Glenn Ong's show now.
Well, and I'll just chime in. One of the best family vacations we ever had was in Brisbane when we went down years and years ago. The kids were young, and we rented a farmhouse on a working farm on the edge of Brisbane, overlooking the Glassall Mountains?
Glasshouse Mountains, near the Sunshine Coast, just
it
north.
It was beautiful. It was a 100-acre farm or something like that, and it was actually owned by a Singaporean couple, and they rented out they had workers, itinerant workers working the farm, but they rented out the house as a B&B, right?
Nice.
So we stayed there. We had fresh eggs every morning. And there was a platypus down in the pond, that, you know, and just walking around. And it was brilliant.
Yeah,
but the food and the fresh air and everything was
just
great.
And that's the thing about Brisbane. I think Queensland Tourism, who of course have an office here in Singapore, they're really trying to change it from being just a hub city to a destination city. Because a lot of Singaporeans would go to Brisbane, and Neil, you'll be aware of this, having owned a flat in Surfers Paradise, they would just travel straight to Surfers Paradise or travel straight to the Sunshine Coast near where you were.
Yeah.
But Brisbane itself has become a city that has a lot of things going for it, whether it's markets, whether it's there's Bluey's World coming up down there with the cartoon character, which is very popular. Lots of things going on, bridges being built and cycling, something that I do. Lots of things too. Koala Park, I think they went down to the Pine Sanctuary, didn't they, Glenn and the team? So, it's become a city, a bit like secondary cities in the US, Glenn, where you don't want to be in the New York or Los Angeles, but you might want to be in, I'm going to say Chicago, that's a major city, but you might want to be in the Atlanta, you might want to be in the Dallas or somewhere else where it's got everything a big city has to offer, but it's not as hectic.
But it's also got, it's the proximity as well to the major theme parks, which are less than an hour's drive away. Yes. You've got all the movie worlds, Sea Worlds. It's nearby. Yeah.
It feels like a Raleigh, Durham, or a Richmond.
That's very good. Yeah, very accurate.
I mean, if you want to do a U.S. comparison.
Or Denver or something like that.
Oh, interesting. So what's next for you? What are you going to be doing while you're here? You're here for a week and a half, right?
Yes.
Ish?
Yes, I'm going on Michelle Martin's show during the week, catching up with a few people here, going to go up to Malaysia, where I, as you guys know, I used to work. Just running around and, buying a few things here and there. My wife has given me a long list of things to buy, like Decathlon.
Very familiar to me.
Yes, and also the special...
Don't you guys have Decathlon in Australia?
We do, but it's less expensive here.
Really?
Also, Luxa, the packet Luxa.
The packet ones.
Because you can get really good packet Luxa here in Singapore that you cannot get in Brisbane.
It always comes down to food and the stuff.
Always,
doesn't it?
I do the same. Are you going up to see the friends at Astro? Because you used to work at Astro, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I was up there for a few years, hosting Premier League. In fact, that's why I came to Singapore originally.
That's where I met you.
Yes, in fact, we met. In fact, I'm thinking, I can tell you exactly when we met. I met Glenn in about April of 1999, so it's 25 years. Happy 25th.
Wow.
And I met you, Neil, in 2010 when you were doing the Match Fixing book tour.
I wasn't doing the match fixing. Let's get that right.
But remember that time.
You were match fixing while you were on a book tour.
Yeah, that's how I paid for it.
But we were doing a podcast about that. So that is 14 years ago, Neil Humphreys, that we met.
Wow.
And you very kindly, I remember this, invited me onto your show.
I did.
In Astro.
Yep.
And you thought, he's doing okay. And I remember you let me stay on the entire show. He had far too much autonomy. He just said, I'll just stay. We was on with a guy called Scott.
Scott Ollerenshaw, he's a former Australian international, lives in Sabah. So that was fun. And I thought, wow, this guy can talk. He can write. He can talk. Can't really sing, but he loves the Beatles like I did. I do, and he loves his vegetarian food, and he has a daughter.
Yeah.
So we have a bit in common, a bit like I have with you, Glenn.
I'm going to have to get a room for you two to move into together.
I'm not saying anything.
There's not enough space for the egos. Yes.
Well, Jason, it's always a pleasure to have you around.
Well, you didn't actually answer the question.
Oh, yeah, we had the question.
I'll shoot you in on the edge of his seat here. How do you reckon these two clowns, I mean old men, I mean guys, fared so far as replacements for your show? Just for our listeners, you did originate the Saturday morning show.
I think they're doing great. They've done it for almost 5 years. I did it for about a year and a half, so they're well surpassed me. And if you're calling them old men, I'm actually older. I'm I think a year and a half older than Glenn, or 2 years older than Glenn, and I'm 12 and a half years older than Neil, so don't call him old.
This is where he's fishing for a compliment to say how well he looks, and he's not getting it. Now, Fuji Red, as always, cut to the quick. All right, guys, get a room. Stop reminiscing about the past.
Exactly.
We've got a show to do here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You always got to look forward. You know what George Foreman once told me? He said, Jason...
Wait a minute. Anytime somebody starts a comment with...
Well,
George Foreman once told me.
So George Foreman, former world heavyweight boxing champion, king of the kitchen. I interviewed him in Houston, Texas in 2007. He said, and I actually appeared in the Foreman family reality TV show. That was the only condition that I can do an interview with you, but you have to be in the reality show.
Huh.
He said, Jason, I mean, I had a pretty good boxing career, but you know, in life, you got to move on. And I'm really happy to be king of the kitchen now.
the George Foreman grill.
Well, when
was
I
born.
Met Muhammad Ali, yeah. I'm just
oh,
going,
no, no.
Which is true.
Well, when I was in the White House for a press conference with Bill Clinton,
Klitschko.
That's not the same.
Oh, this is going to get ugly here real quick. Jason, yeah. Thank you for coming out. I hope to see you this week.
Yes. Can we catch up for lunch?
Absolutely.
I'll even buy you lunch. How about that? It's very unusual for me. As
wow.
Glenn, as
so will tell you. Just make sure, Glenn, you find the cheapest place in Singapore, and he'll be there.
Jason will find it for us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.